Hello and welcome to another episode of The Cursed Checkpoint, HorribleNight.com's topical podcast. I'm your host, Justin Lacey, and joining me this evening to talk about Call of Duty Black Ops 2 and whether I should continue playing it is Justin Gifford.
Hello out there, Radioland.
So, the reason I brought us together is because I wouldn't say we don't fall into the category of jumping up and down for Call of Duty every time that it shows up. But we are both somewhat intrigued by Black Ops 2. I actually was really, really hyped for it last year. It had been a number of Call of Duty games since I had played. And for some reason, the whole presentation of the near future Black Ops 2 and just the fact that it had been so long since I had played, I was curious about playing. But I hit a wall with it. I wanted to go into this game essentially just kind of doing target practice, like just running through a shooting gallery and see the big set pieces and play a big action movie. And then I ran into the Strike Force missions and lost all of my interest. And since then, you have finished the game and continue to enjoy some of the multiplayer modes. So I've wanted to figure out what I was missing, and for some reason I haven't completely locked this game away. So my hope is I will either be intrigued enough after this conversation to keep playing or completely get rid of the game altogether. So no pressure, Justin Gifford. But what drew you to Black Ops 2 to start?
Honestly, I mentioned it on the site, I think, or on Twitter or some social media outlet, but the first house we tried to buy, you know, we had an inspection on it and all this other stuff. It didn't work out, so suddenly we had not really extra money, but money that we thought we were going to be spending on something that suddenly we weren't spending it on. So I went to Best Buy, and I ended up buying a new TV, and I also bought a couple of games. Black Ops 2 was one of them. I was just like, you know what? I haven't played one of these in a while. Let's see if it's worth the hassle and why everybody's getting so excited about it. So It was kind of a fluke, basically. Had that not happened, I would not have bought it.
So you don't even think it was what anybody had said individually about the game, other than Call of Duty is a known commodity and you had some disposable income, and why the hell not? That was
important. No, this was literally a fluke. Like, okay, when people talked about Call of Duty before I played Black Ops 2, all I heard was, and I'm okay with those noises when we're talking about, like, an internal combustion engine or power tools or, you know, firearms. But Call of Duty hadn't really done it for me. The last one I played was Call of Duty 2. Mm-hmm. And or Modern Warfare 2, whatever, which was a fun first person shooter, but whatever. Like, I was not going to spend money on it. It was a fluke. I had this sort of extra money and I was undergoing retail therapy and I kind of wanted to kill some things because buying a house is stressful.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I wanted to play this game as kind of an escape from my normal routine of holiday releases. I had been playing a lot of other franchises that, you know, have their yearly releases. And, this is one that, you know, I'm not a big military shooter guy, but I enjoyed the original Call of Duty and, really loved Modern Warfare 1. But that was honestly the last Call of Duty I played because it just seemed to get further and further away from, not necessarily being a sim, but really focused on the emotions and the storyline of those individual characters, and just how there was a lot of like camaraderie of the first game that I liked, but they were getting more into, we're making a big action movie. You know, the Michael Bay references started coming in, and then all of a sudden, it's been so long since I've played one, I'm okay with, I just want a Michael Bay experience because I'm getting my fill of all of what I wanted out of the original Call of Duties with other games. So why not just have this kind of mindless shooter with, you know, that is just going to wow me, be barely skin deep, and I just run through it and have a good time. And unfortunately, I hit a wall, but you've pressed through and Do you think it's worth me giving a shot to push through those Strike Force missions? Or maybe talk a little bit about how you approach the Strike Force missions and what they are.
Okay, so to be fair, we both hit the wall.
Okay.
With Strike Force missions. I don't know if I took some time off from gaming or what the hell I was doing, but I stopped playing it for a little while. Not long, a week or two. Because the Strike Force missions were hard. Now, to put it in perspective, generally speaking, if I buy a game, I'm buying a game and I play it on the hard setting. Not insane, but the hardest setting you can play on. So, like, on Halo, I will play it on heroic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I get a Halo game, I play it on heroic. That's a baseline for you. I tried that with Black Ops 2, and I could play the single-player missions. I died a fair amount, but I could play them okay.
Mm-hmm.
I even beat the game on that. But I decided I wanted to go back. I wanted to deal with these stupid tactical missions, Strike Force missions, and try and get some more of the unlockables. So I put it on the normal mode.
Mm-hmm.
And they are so much easier on normal mode. Like, the difference is staggering. And just from looking at some of the other guides online, mainly not because I need to know how to kill dudes, but like, okay, where is this piece of intelligence? What do I realistically need to do? Whatever. Essentially, they say on the Strike Force missions, replay them. Don't rewind, but replay them and do it on recruit. Because they're stupidly difficult, at least for unlocking the challenges.
Gotcha. I just, so these are all of a sudden
RTS.
Yeah. I came for the shooting gallery. I came to just sprint through levels in a straight line and shoot dudes off of ridiculous set pieces. And all of a sudden they're making me pick which soldier I wanted to be, or if I wanted to be a little mech. Like, the technology stuff was cool, but, objectives and defending things and, like, having to control multiple guys, like, that's not what I signed up for. I was like, I was so disappointed because I thought I knew. Black Ops had been, Call of Duty had been boiled down to such a template. Like, I was signing up for the template, and then they changed it on me, which was just really, I was overwhelmed by the irony of that, of the fact that I thought I knew exactly what I was getting, and because they changed it a little bit, it pissed me off and drove me away. But,
here's where I'm thinking. I think they deserve to be applauded for what they did,
mm-hmm.
but they screwed it up somewhat. And what they did, I think, was they were trying to expand the narrative. Mm-hmm. You've got Mason, who codenamed Section, who's he's supposed to be in charge of people. You know, I don't know exactly how his non-existent rank translates, but he's the guy you would put in charge of a mission.
He's not a grunt.
Right. He's clearly an officer. Mm-hmm. He's a CIA operator. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to add a little bit more realism into that. It's the kind of thing an admiral would be like, here, Mason, go take care of this. So I applaud that, and I think the way they did it wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I know one thing that frustrated the crap out of me was, at least with picking soldiers, you can't pick. You just end up with some dude in the squad. So you might end up with the weapon you really want, mm-hmm. which is appropriate, or you might end up with the weapon you're like, this is completely worthless because this is not, it's a squad assault weapon and we're in close quarters. So I think it had some ups and downs, mm-hmm. In addition to which the way in which they did the real-time strategy portion of it, it could have used some work.
Gotcha.
I mean, all you can do is you can zoom out to the map and hit left trigger or hold left trigger for where you want the guys to go. And then you just hope that the game's AI is good enough for your soldiers to beat their soldiers.
So,
although it does help depending on your performance in game.
So difficulty. Like go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, if you have 11 strike teams instead of two,
mm-hmm.
it makes a big difference.
Gotcha. Difficulty aside, like once you took it down to normal or recruit or whatever, did you actually have fun with the Strike Force missions, or were you still just getting through them for achievements or just...
I don't know that I ever, especially the last Strike Force mission, it's just like, grind them down. The earlier ones, they're not horrible. Like, on normal, they're doable, especially if you've got enough guys. That said, I want to get all of the challenges from all of the single-player missions, and there are 4 or 5 Strike Force missions, something like that. And I've got, I think the most I have on any of them is 5. And most of them I have like 2, 1, or 3, between 1 and 3. And I'm just like, son of a
I mean, you are a completionist after all. I'm sure it's driving you nuts. But I would applaud them too for trying to change it up. Like, it's just, I'm not, I'm not the target audience here. I don't really feel bad that, I was thrown off by this so much. It's actually kind of funny. Like I said, I thought I was buying a template, and I was ready for it. And then because they changed it up, it annoyed me. But that's why I kept, like, I kept wondering, though, like, the rest of the campaign, knowing that I want a big-ass action movie to participate in, do you think it's worth me knocking down that difficulty, going through the Strike Force missions, and giving it another shot?
You know, I don't know what ending you get, because I think the Strike Force missions are essentially optional.
Yeah.
Like, you get a slightly better ending depending on what you did.
So maybe
this is not like you killed, this is not like you killed Rex in Mass Effect 1.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your ending is a little bit better, and I think you may get an achievement for getting, like, the best possible ending. I don't know, because I'm going to have to replay the whole damn thing to pull it off, because I didn't know that there were optional endings on one level. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The Strike Force missions, like, play the game through on recruit just so you can do that. Or something. I don't know.
They're fine.
It's just, think about like Assassin's Creed, because that's another annual turnout.
Yeah.
In Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, they introduced the missions with the assassins, and you can upgrade them, and you get them upgraded enough that it works out better for you. I kind of think they took a better approach than... I think Ubisoft took a better approach than Treyarch did in this one. They're like, hey, we're going to add some... Well, in this case, it would be more like turn-based strategy elements. But we're just going to add this one little thing that's easy to manage, and it really doesn't screw up your whole game.
Yeah. How many Strike Force missions are actually required? Because I played through the tutorial of the first one, and I was like, I don't want to play this, and put it down. And that was it. So
the first one's actually not that hard. it's just not. You can play with, like, just swap between your dudes and occasionally point the claw, the giant, like, dinosaur. Yeah. Point it in the right direction and you're fine. I think the other ones are all optional.
Okay.
And there, I think there are 5. I didn't do a lot of research, obviously, but I believe that there are 5. And one of them, there are 2 of them. It depends on how you finish a certain level in the game. You either get to do one or the other.
Okay.
And I haven't done one of them because I'm good and I didn't screw up the mission. Sorry, it was a joke. I'm not really that good. Yeah, that's kind of the deal.
But you intrigue me enough for me to kind of have this conversation, because you've kept playing the game, and not just from the completionist side. It sounds like you're actually enjoying zombie mode now.
I'm enjoying zombie and multiplayer.
And you're not Yeah, that's...
I'm not a multiplayer... Like, unless it's co-op, I'm not a multiplayer person.
Yeah.
I think... And this is just a... Almost a painful thing for me to say.
This is a safe place.
Talking trash about these games for a couple, 3 years. Tonight was the first time I ran into the 14-year-old running his mouth about horrible things.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy to mute people, and I now have absolutely no shame in filing a complaint. And I've been playing on Xbox Live long enough that if he filed a complaint against me and I hear from one of the moderators, I'm going to be like, dude, look at my reputation. Like, I got 60,000 gamer points or whatever it is and a 5-star reputation. This guy has 900 and a 3-star reputation, and he's brand new and he's 14. So anyway, I've had actually pretty good experience in multiplayer. Everybody's in party anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun, and there's a shitload of game modes. I mean, like, there's one where you start out with a base gun, and every time you kill somebody, you get it upgrades your weapon.
Mm-hmm.
There's like I can't remember what the game mode was called from GoldenEye, but the one hit kills.
Oh, the man with the golden gun?
Yeah, except you also only have one bullet.
Oh, no.
So, there are just a lot of really fun game modes in multiplayer. I was impressed.
Are you playing with... Sword and
Sandstorm has turned out it's just really polished, and the combat is really good, and I hate it. and no, I've been playing as a pub kid.
Oh, really? Yeah, I wonder if you were in a squad that you knew, so...
I played with some of the guys two weekends ago. Double XP weekend, which means my rank is grossly inflated for my skill level. And I've also played some zombie mode, which is interesting.
You didn't like it at first, right? And then it's kind of caught on a little bit?
I was playing by myself, and nobody would tell me what the hell I was supposed to do. which, aside from, hey, kill zombies, yeah, I got that part, but, like, you know, how do you build these things in these levels? Pardon me. How do you build these things in these levels? Will you open doors or turn on reactors and stuff like that? Nobody was telling me anything, and I got to talking with a friend of a friend, and he was telling me, oh, okay, well, first off, on the first couple of levels, shoot people like 5 times and then stab them. That's the most points you can get. I also played on solo for a while once he told me that, and that really cleared it up. And, it started making a lot more sense after that. And it's nice to have, like, a co-op versus basically bots mode.
Sure, I mean, the fact
that zombies is fine, but that's one of the reasons I loved the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer so much, was... It was co-op versus bot. The bots were worth killing because the multiplayer co-op versus bots mode is not worth playing. They're like freaking target dummies.
Mm-hmm.
The zombies are kind of a pain in the ass to kill. They get faster and there's some strategy involved and you figure out which weapons you like, things like that. So
very cool.
The zombies, it's fun.
Very cool. Anything else you want to talk about specifically? Maybe Black Ops campaign or multiplayer before we try to improve this thing?
In terms of the campaign, I really like it. I get irritated because I can't skip you can sort of skip the cutscenes, but you have to
watch
some of it. And I'm kind of like, if you're going to let me skip the cutscene, just let me skip the cutscene. Because I've played the game, I've seen all the cutscenes. Like, just... And I'm playing this on a replay.
Mm-hmm.
That's one UI issue that could be fixed. Other than that, you know, it seems to me that for the most part, the challenges are well spaced. They're well done. Like, you can do all of them. Some of them are challenges. I like the fact they haven't screwed around and try and make it like... you know, you have to complete these challenges on hardcore mode. Because that would be bullshit. Like, I don't know. I think biggest thing I can say is I've been griping about these games for years because of my experience with both. It was Battlefield 2 and Modern Warfare 2 and their multiplayer settings. And it was horrible. But, man, this is just a really polished game, especially for one that comes out every year. I mean, I suppose you get some benefit from turning something out every year. You know which things to fix. You got a big data set. But it's a polished game.
Yeah.
It is Michael Bay, but I didn't come for it for emotional resonance.
Right, right. And that's what, like I said, I thought I was ready for what I was getting into, and it threw up a few more hurdles than I expected. So that would be, you know, I still would really like to see whether it's Call of Duty or another military shooter kind of capture the drama that I was really after from those first games. But I'm also okay with, like, if you're gonna go all out, which the series has done, and that's the thing, they may have. The game for me may have been Black Ops 1 or Modern Warfare 3. I don't know. Maybe those things were just literally the straightforward campaign that is the big action movie. And I missed the boat because they already checked it off their list of we've done this. So now we need to, you know, what if we try to introduce a little bit of strategy? It'll be kind of optional. And, you know, surely they won't quit after the first one. You know, I still feel like if they made the game for me, it wouldn't be Call of Duty. So I can't get too mad at it. But, I'm still wondering what's going to pull me back into military shooters just because that's where I got my start. Like I said, I loved the original Call of Duties, and that's kind of what I associate, like, the pinnacle of military shooters for me. And but at the same time, like, I haven't had one in my library that interests me outside of, you know, Bad Company was the next one. But I like that for its sense of humor and its destructible environments, and I love the campaign modes of that. And you know, as I loved Modern Warfare 1's campaign, and but it's like, it's almost on a completely different, it seems like a completely different genre than what Black Ops 2 has evolved into. Like,
yeah. How so? Like, what do you mean different? Was it much more on rails? Is that what you mean?
No, just it's so much more fantastical than it used to be. Like, it really, Modern Warfare 1 seemed so grounded in reality, and I like those types of games too. But, you know, Black Ops 2 with its near future is somewhat grounded in reality. Like, I love the fact that they're actually trying to, you know, guess or get educated on where our technology is going to, you know, do all this. The whole plot around drones and turning them against us, that's really cool. But there's those fantastical elements, like I said, evolved from being, like, you know, a Saving Private Ryan scenario to a Michael Bay movie. It's that.
You don't read the Danger Room blog on Wired, do you?
No. No.
Okay, because nothing in Modern Warfare 2 Black Ops seemed fantastical to me at all. Maybe no, the one gun that let you shoot through crap, but no,
how
other
about,
than that, like,
how about riding on a horse shooting a rocket launcher at helicopters? That's what
go ahead and call the Russians about that one. See what they say about it, because I'm pretty sure that happened. Or watch Charlie Wilson's War. I think Tom Hanks won an Oscar for that. I'm not sure.
I just don't.
But all I'm saying is, like, I think this was. The single player campaign is what has always kept me away from these. Like, and I thought Modern Warfare 2 single player campaign was fine, but it was fine. It was on rails. I felt trapped. The single player campaign in Black Ops 2 is really what keeps me playing the damn game.
Oh, cool.
Because it's surprisingly good. Like, I was expecting it to be like, I'm going to run around, I'm going to shoot people with my ray gun rifle, and it's going to be like, no, it was good. And there's a clear difference between weapons. And yeah, it was surprising, I guess, is where I'm going with that.
I guess I just want a clear definition of with these games, as far as, like, are you going to go super realistic or are you going to go more fantastical? And it's walking a line that I was like, no, I really, and this is, again, this is all my personal preference. I want them to choose a side and go all out with it. Like, I want them to go all out Michael Bay, like, because that game can be fun. And,
but what would you think about the old school missions?
The
ones where you're in the late 70s to mid 80s.
Those are cool. Yeah. And I actually love the contrast of jumping back and forth in the timeline. I guess when I say fantastical, just like, I don't know how to describe it. There was just something more realistic, less movie-like about Modern Warfare and the earlier Call of Duties than what it has evolved into. But it didn't go as far as I wanted it to. And because I did want that Michael Bay experience. How many times are we going to say his name? But it's the only way I can describe
We're going to have to link to Michael Bay eating cereal.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm thinking is, I think to a certain degree, there's been a Michael Bayization of war.
Yeah.
I mean, like, some of the... think about it. We got all these drones providing all this information. Like, crap that we're doing now is the near future stuff of the war movies we grew up watching, or even like Black Hawk Down, which is set in 95.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had no concept of the crap that we're doing now with military hardware.
Maybe I'm not ready for modern military games. Maybe I should stick to my World War IIs and my Vietnam games.
Well, think about what's the first thing that happens when they actually roll out the first, like, mini mechs? That's really going to screw with you, right?
Yeah. You know? You're right. Maybe I do want more of a classic experience. I want a classic experience. Well, okay.
Gritty shooter game, like, you remember Rainbow Six, like in college? Yeah, that's what I think about, like, really gritty, or the first SOCOM games. Like, you still die as fast in the Black Ops games, at least on the harder settings, but it's fairly similar.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there's new tech, there's shiny stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. It was maybe it just gotten built up in my head about how ridiculous, you know, how extreme the Black Ops or how extreme the Call of Duty moments were. And, I just thought I knew what to expect. And, those expectations were probably unfair, but they're also, you know, that's the motivation you have to play the game. And when a game isn't what you expect, for better or for worse, you know, I moved on, but I will always be curious about the Call of Duty series, just as an outsider, and because, you know, when you look at the top-selling franchise in gaming right now, like, and as someone that loves to follow the industry, it's intriguing to me why people are drawn to it, and I felt like I made an honest effort to get into it with Black Ops 2, but I had that wall.
What did you move on to, I guess?
Let's see, it was after Assassin's Creed 3. And then I... What else was I playing then? I don't remember. It was not a shooter, though. It was...
Were you playing some throwaways on the PC?
Probably. But no, I had another big game at that point. Whether it was before Devil May Cry, so I'm not sure. But, yeah. Oh, no, it was probably Dishonored. I probably went back to Dishonored at that point.
Oh yeah, that would distract you.
So I usually, what I like to do is I like to have my like really serious immersive experience game going on with my fun game on the side, and I wanted this to be my fun game on the side, and then it threw something not fun at me, and I said, "Fuck you, I'm moving on." So
that's fair.
And I filled its slot with probably random PC games. So, I was talking to my buddies that play Call of Duty, and they're still really into it. So, but their perspective, I can't really relate to it as much as somebody that hasn't been playing all the Call of Duty games that managed to get hooked on this. And I couldn't help but wonder what I was missing. And
how in the hell did Gifford get hooked on Call of Duty.
Yeah,
that basically.
That's how we started.
Yeah.
Sounds like my secret is I should put it on recruit for the Strike Force missions and get through those and see if something else hooks me on the campaign. Because up to that point, there was a lot that I liked about it.
After the first Strike Force mission, there are a couple of campaign missions where I was like, whoa.
There you go. Now you're talking my language.
It was more, I don't want to say Ridley Scott. It was somewhere in between Ridley Scott and Michael Bay level. Like, there's some emotional resonance and you're like, holy shit, did that just happen? You know? So yeah, there's some emotional resonance on top of shit exploding.
Cool.
So yeah, I think the Strike Force missions are worth grinding through. You know, it's just like, it's like those levels. It's the levels in the games. And if it weren't Black Ops 2 and you ran across a level you didn't really like, you would grind through it. Like in another game, you'd be like, I hate this freaking mission.
Definitely.
Black Ops 2 single player campaign is worth grinding through the Strike Force missions. I think that probably sums up the entire discussion. It's worth grinding through.
You answered my question and then also kind of revealed, like, I don't know why I'm hung up on difficulty with a game that I just want to have fun with anyway. So, because I'm not playing this for completionists. I'm not playing it to, you know, get hardcore achievements. So it's I should just, if I'm really going to kick back and have fun, may as well set it up so I can do that. But
it's a matter of pride. Like, you've been playing games since like 1986.
Yeah.
Where they were really hard and there were no difficulty settings. And it's like, oh, you're giving me difficulty settings. Yeah. Hang on, I'm a professional. I'll handle this.
No, you're not.
Hang on a second. Yeah, we also grew up playing games in the mid-80s. And sit down.
But also, before we take off, I need to give another acknowledgement to Digital Rooker is fantastic. So... that he's probably worth coming back for by himself. So, all right.
We got Digital Rooker and we got Rooker in The Walking Dead. Is this the Rooker decade? Is that what's going on?
I'm okay with where this decade's headed.
I thought he was like 60 in Mallrats in 1995.
Oh, I wish Black Ops 2 had come with a free order of chocolate covered pretzels. So... All right, that's going to do it. Justin, thanks for talking Black Ops 2 with me. And the Cursed Checkpoint will be back again real soon. We'll see you.